Teaching ELL students is a privilege and a joy. Is it easy? No way. But with the right support, you can feel empowered to tackle each day with ease and confidence. I'm your host, Beth Boucher, founder of Inspiring Young Learners. With over 10 years of teaching both nationally and internationally, I know what it takes to ensure that your ELL students have what they need to thrive today, tomorrow, and for life. I'm on a mission to empower you to equip your English language learners. Welcome to Equipping ELLs. Let's get to today's episode. Hey there, and welcome to another episode of the Equipping ELLs podcast. I just want to take a moment and thank you for spending your valuable time with me and learning together how we can continue to do better to support our incredible ELL students. This podcast is one of my greatest joys, and I really enjoy researching and connecting with others in this field and finding more topics where we can learn together best ways to support our ELL students. So stay tuned for some upcoming episodes that are going to really get you set up for this next school year. I'm super excited for what is to come. As we close this year, as educators, we often find ourselves at the crossroads of enthusiasm and exhaustion, particularly when it comes to teaching ELLs. The landscape of ELL education is filled with challenges stemming from inadequate initial education, lack of proper training for new demands, and an ever-widening gap between theory and practice. Understanding and addressing these issues is crucial not only for our professional growth, but also for significantly improving our students' learning experiences. My personality naturally leans towards optimism, half glass full, and positivity. But as we come near to the end of the school year, I think it's only right to pause and take a look at some of the reasons this year might have felt really hard and exhausting for you. We here at Equipping ELLs want you to know that we see you. We see what's being asked of you. And we are here to help as best as we can. You are not alone, and sometimes just knowing that helps to keep moving forward. So we aren't going to sit in the negativity forever, but in today's episode, I want to highlight five reasons this year might have felt really hard, and to give you a space to reflect on what's been really hard for you so that we can leave it in this year and try to make a plan to do whatever we can to start off next year prepared for some of these challenges. One of the first reasons this year might have felt really hard is just the different student population that's been entering your school. I've heard from many of you that now more than ever, you're working with ELL students who are coming in with very little foundational skills, even in their native language, and many of them have interrupted education. This really does require a different approach compared to students that you might have worked with in the past. It's really like learning a whole new style of teaching. So when many ELL students come to us with varying levels of prior education, that can be really hard to know where to begin, what to focus on. Some of our students have robust foundational knowledge, while others might lack those basic skills that are often presumed in classroom settings, and this can make it even more difficult when our students are coming in and they're older and they don't have these skills. This discrepancy can really create a steep learning curve, not only for the students, but also for you. And identifying these gaps early through assessments and tailored observations, that's what allows us to customize our teaching strategies to better suit individual needs. But a lot of times we know the school doesn't have the assessments that really help us hone in on what they need, or maybe we don't have those assessments or we don't have the time. So as we're working with more and more students who are coming from war-torn countries and are going to have interrupted education, that can be hard on you as a teacher. And many teachers I've talked to have had years of experience of teaching ELLs, and they're just seeing this student is a different student to approach. I know here, and this is what I've shared with many people here, really the pandemic was about 2 years of no education for many of the public schools here. And so students literally just skipped 2 years of education. In Panama, public school students were about 3 years behind before the pandemic. And then a recent report came out through UNICEF that was sharing that post-pandemic schools, children here are now about 9 grades behind because of those 2 years where the country shut down. And so those are just things to keep in mind, to take into account as you're working with these students who have had interrupted education. that might not know how to even write their name. It's hard to know then, what do I do? How can I do all of these things for the student? But it really does go back to first, be that safe space, be that person who they know they can trust. You also will want to work as a school on how to work with students who have gone through trauma, who have interrupted education. How can you as a school support those students? Because on your own, you can't do it all. So start there. And these are things we're going to be unpacking in this upcoming school year. But know that it's okay if that just feels a little bit more exhausting, because it's a really different approach to those students than to some other ELL students that you might be working with. One other thing that might feel really challenging to you this year is just the discussion or the debate or the advocacy for diagnosing language versus learning issues. I'm sure one of your students is coming to mind that in your gut, you know that this isn't a language issue. But the pushback you keep getting in your meetings, in parent meetings with administration, is that it's a language issue. I've been in many meetings like that, and it just feels really frustrating, because as you're providing the best you can that language support, and you're seeing that they're not making the growth that you're hoping for, and you're seeing that they are getting older and the gap is getting wider and they really need that support, it can feel really frustrating. So distinguishing between a language barrier and a learning disability is a critical skill, but it can also feel really overwhelming, because there's so much debate around how long to wait until you see that it is, could or could be, a learning issue and not a language thing. So I've been there, and I understand that it can feel so frustrating. And what I want to encourage you with is to keep advocating and to keep taking your own notes. Find as many data points as you can that will help you convey to others the need for the student to have some support outside of language. And a lot of times that looks like they get language and learning. So really defining, maybe this is something that you really go deeper into this summer, but defining, when should they just receive language support? When should they receive learning support? Is there someone who can do both? Do they not need the language support anymore? There's so many questions to walk through, and this is why this can get really frustrating and challenging. But the more data points you have, the more convincing you can be in meetings. So if this has happened to you this year, I have been there where they keep coming back to me and saying, no, it's just language, keep working on language. Then just keep doing your best with what you can and keep taking your notes and doing your assessment so that you can continue to bring up and show, you know, maybe there's very little growth and you've done all of these interventions with them, or you've done these language activities with them, which are not interventions. We'll get to that in another episode. And so if you can provide and show what you've been doing and showing the growth or lack of growth they are making, that will help them to more clearly see and hopefully come on board and support you with what your students need. But I just know that that can be really a challenging environment. Another challenge that you might have faced this year that might have made it feel really hard is training versus reality and the disconnect between the two. We sent out a recent survey, and 84% of you shared that the PD, the professional development in your school, that they have provided has not been helpful, or it has not been about how to become a better teacher when it comes to supporting ELLs. So 84% have not been happy with the PD that your school has provided you this year. I mean, we've all been there. We've sat through PD sessions, and maybe some of those are inspiring on a theoretical level. But how many of those times have you then not had any time to implement? You've had really little time to discuss with others and figure out what this looks like. So there's such a disconnect between that theory and the reality. Every year also, it seems like new demands are placed on teachers. So whether it's integrating a new technology system or adopting a new pedagogical theory or trying out a new curriculum, oftentimes it comes with training that's so specific to this new thing they're doing. But so often they miss out on what can they provide you that is going to help you in the day-to-day? What's going to directly translate into making impact with the ELL students that are right in front of you? So with this, encourage your administration to find PD that bridges the gap between inspiring ideas and classroom realities so that you all can feel empowered and that what you're learning is both applicable and actionable. Advocate for PD that focuses on real-world classroom scenarios, equipping teachers with strategies that can be immediately implemented. And something else, PD should be adaptive, evolving based on feedback and the changing dynamics of our student populations. So we need to do PD. This is such a huge part of teaching, is that continual learning. We are all lifelong learners. But if it's something that is so disconnected from our reality of the day-to-day struggles that we're facing, this can really feel like a challenge that you're sitting in these trainings, but it's not helping you in your implementation of your day-to-day lessons and support. And so I want to challenge you that if that is something that was really discouraging this year, find opportunities that you can get the PD you need. We have something super exciting coming out shortly that's going to help you get the PD in bite-sized chunks. You can also see if your school will pay for you to go to an in-person training or find something that you know will really make an impact in your day-to-day teaching and ask for that support. We can't keep sitting by and hoping that our schools will give us the support we need. We know a lot of times the support is on, you know, big names that make these big promises or are selling these big curriculums, and they cost a lot of money, but they might be super disconnected from the actual day-to-day classroom. And so it's not that practical. So advocate for the support that you need so that you can save time, plan better, support better, and really be the teacher that your ELLs need you to be. Now, another reason that this year might have felt really hard is because of staffing challenges and student overload. The imbalance between the growing number of ELL students and the availability of qualified teachers is really reaching critical levels. So this is not only straining existing resources, but it also dilutes the quality of education each student receives. So you might be feeling this right now, as you know the school should be hiring another ESL teacher and they can't find somebody to fill that position, or they find somebody and they're really not qualified and they don't have the experience. Or maybe your numbers are increasing week by week even. Think of how many students you started with at the beginning of the year and think of where you are now. That in and of itself is challenging and exhausting. To try to service that many students, I know that many of you are 50 students on your caseload, 75 students on your caseload. We have members inside Equipping ELLs who have over 150 students on their caseload. And so just knowing that there's no way that you can service all those students with high rigor and support, it's just not going to happen. And so with this, really take time this summer to think about, one, what are the laws of your state? I know in North Carolina, that seems to be where a lot of people have high caseloads, and there seems to be no laws on that. So maybe that's something that you need to go and advocate for and say, you know, I can't service 150 people on my own. We also had one of our members was in Arizona, I believe, and she was servicing 75 students part-time. And she went and advocated after we encouraged her to do that. And she, I believe, was then down to about 50, but they were all newcomers. So she was able to focus only on teaching newcomers. So create a plan, maybe have multiple plans and say, okay, here is best case scenario that I could group my students differently so that I'm working with all the same language level, or really think through the summer. What was the biggest frustration about my schedule, about my groups, about the students I'm supporting, about my caseload? Not the students themselves, but maybe the environment or the setup that really made it so challenging. And then go in this summer or email this summer and say, hey, this was really a struggle for me. This really drained me last year. I was not able to provide the support that I would like to provide. Here are a few different options that I would love to see happen this year so that I can be the best teacher I can be for these students. And so maybe that is only working with newcomer and beginner students, or maybe it's switching up by grade levels, or maybe it's bringing on a part-time paraprofessional. Give different options and see what your administrator can do for you. But if you don't bring it up, they're not going to most likely do anything about it. So look at the law, come up with options over the summer so that going into next school year, it's not going to be the same situation or worse, because that is really challenging and could have really drained you this year. And then the last reason this year might have been really challenging or felt really hard, and I've kind of hit on this in previous episodes, but it can be really challenging, and that's bridging the communication gap between different educators. Frequently, content teachers and language teachers operate in silos. So they use different terminologies and approaches that can confuse students and really hinder their learning. When we foster a collaborative environment where content and language educators work together to develop cohesive teaching strategies, this can significantly enhance the learning experience for ELLs. This also is going to make a big impact on you if you're expected to co-teach and co-plan and you're still not really on the same page. That those teachers sit there and they don't want to create language objectives, or they don't know how. And year after year, you're continuing to provide that support and it's tiring you out. What can you do to help get on the same page? You can listen to last week's episode where I share about how 6 ways that we're all language teachers with those teachers, because as they start to see different ways that they are a language teacher, it might help to open those lines of communication. Because once you are on the same page, once you're speaking the same language, those meetings run so much smoother. Your lesson planning time runs so much smoother. Your co-teaching model runs so much smoother. So really, this is a key part of the success of working together in a collaborative environment, is being on the same page, of speaking the same language, of coming to that same place where you all have a desire to do what's best to support your English language learners. So I know that you are feeling some of these things. And like I said, we see you, we hear you, we are here to support you as best as we can. There are a wide range of complexities when it comes to teaching ELLs, but we also know how incredibly rewarding it is. So if you are reflecting right now and you're feeling the weight of some of these challenges, know that you are not alone. Together, we can create ways to overcome these challenges and really help you have an amazing year next year. So take away one area that was just really draining to you, really frustrating, and I want you to think through a plan, and I want you to bring that to your administrator and come up with a plan, maybe come up with multiple plans to see and let them choose one. But I do really believe if you take the time to do that during the summer and you start off the year already advocating for that, their desire is to help you and to give you the support that you need, but you got to go and advocate for that. So write down that one area that's been really challenging to you and come up with one or two plans of how you could really see that changing for next year, and go do it. If you share our mission and passion, which is to empower educators to equip their English language learners, we would absolutely love if you share this podcast on social media or if you leave a review. This helps other educators from around the world find these resources and tools as well. Thank you for joining me in today's episode. All links and resources mentioned can be found in the show notes. If you're looking for even more support and done-for-you resources created specifically for the needs of ELLs, head to inspiringyounglearners.com. I'll catch you here next week. Until then, take that next step to keep equipping your ELLs.